Yes, welcome back to Dubai today. It is Sunday and it is midday, which means we are ready to get cracking with our Sunday quiz. Very exciting today. The prize up for grabs is a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Charlie's at Four Points by Sheraton on the Sheikh Zayed Road. And this afternoon we say good morning to Nicola and Jane. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello to you both. Nicola, great to have you on today on the Sunday quiz. Are you excited about being on?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay. Jane, are you with us? Are you good to go?
Yep, I'm ready.
Fantastic. Exciting stuff. Okay. So let's get ready.
It's the Sunday quiz only on Dubai Today on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Radio, boxing gloves on, ladies. Okay, we're going to ask you three questions each along the theme of world traditions, and the person with the most points wins this one. So three questions each. If we need to go to our tiebreaker, we do have a tiebreaker, and our judge here is producer Joe. Good morning, Joe, or good afternoon, rather.
Good afternoon, Sally.
You always come up with some incredible questions, and today you do not disappoint.
It's never easy.
No.
I don't like an easy quiz. We don't give it away for nothing.
No, that's right. It's a brilliant prize, and if you've got your thinking hats on, you can win this. Rightio. Okay, so what we're going to do now is player number one. Nicola, this question goes to you. Question number one. The biggest tomato fight in the world is an annual tomato-throwing festival where the participants throw tomatoes and have a tomato fight purely for fun. What European country does this take place in?
That would be in Spain.
And you've got that absolutely correct. Congratulations, Nicola. First question is correct. Number two. This one is question number one, in fact, player number two. Jane, this question is for you. Right. Midsummer is celebrated across Europe as the longest day of the year. What is the name of the European country where in the northern part of the country the sun doesn't actually set in the evening and the traditional menu features different kinds of pickled herring, boiled new potatoes with fresh dill, soured cream and chives? Whoops, here you go. 5 seconds.
Norway? Sweden, possibly?
Oh, I got to take your first answer.
Sorry.
Do you know you got it right the second time round?
Second time, Sweden,
yep.
Yeah.
Sweden was correct, but unfortunately, this is producer Joe's rules. We do have to take the first answer, don't we?
Of course, Sally.
I'm not even allowed to argue with the judge, so forget it. Okay, so question number two for player number one. That's you, Nicola. Right. This is a multiple choice question. So traditionally on this day, the 26th of June, what day is celebrated in Fiji?
Is it?
Oh, sorry, hold on. Before I give you that, yes, it is multiple choice. So is it National Sports Day? Is it National Discovery Day? Or is it National Independence Day?
National Independence Day?
Do you know, I said the same thing. And that is the wrong answer, believe it or not. Do you know it's National Sports Day today in Fiji?
I told you,
Joe doesn't hold back.
Imagine the mum and dad's egg and spoon race.
Amazing, yes. In wonderful Fiji, in the sand as well. I can just imagine that for sure. Right, so Jane, this question is for you, question number two. What European country celebrates midnight on New Year's Eve with the tradition of eating 12 grapes, one at each stroke of the clock, with every grape signifying good luck for each month of the year? What's the name of the European country where this happens?
It's Spain.
Sorry, can you say that again? Wasn't quite clear.
Is it Spain?
It is Spain. Well done. What's the score?
1-1, all to play for.
1-1, okay. All right, question number three for Nicola. Hello, Nicola. Right.
Hello. I'm ready.
Good, good. To many, wearing a white dress is strange, and the tradition is said to have come about when Queen Victoria wore a white dress for her wedding to Prince Albert in 1840. The reason it is seen as strange is because white is associated with which emotion?
Sadness?
Close. Can you elaborate on that a bit more than sadness?
Mourning.
Mourning. Very good. That's all yours. Good. Well done. Right answer. Ding. There you go. Right. Now, question number three for Jane. Right. Traditionally, what is the day when a woman can propose to a man?
29th of February.
Well done. Outstanding. You got that I got that wrong. I mean, I didn't even know that there was a date. There was a date that a woman could propose to a man. I thought you could just do one on any day of the year, but clearly I'm wrong. Okay, the score, Joe.
It's neck and neck. We're going to a tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, go. I love it. I love it when it goes to a tiebreaker. This is so cool. Okay. This is awesome. Okay, so everybody be very, very ready because as soon as I say the question, whoever gives the correct answer first will be our winner today. So here goes. Listening carefully. India has the highest number of public national holidays every year. How many national holidays are celebrated in India annually?
Well,
who was that?
Nicola.
Okay, Jane, what's your answer?
I'm going to say 23.
Ooh, Jane! Jane. We really need like a celebration thing. Jane, it's all yours.
Yay!
The correct answer is 21. So you were the closest.
Close.
Oh, wow. What a Sunday quiz. Congratulations, Jane. You've just won a 500 dirham voucher to spend at Charlie's at four points by Sheraton on Sheraton Road.
Thank you.
Outstanding. Congratulations. Well done to both of you. It was a difficult Sunday quiz yet again, but you both did incredibly, incredibly well. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah. Right. That happens every Sunday. And that was super fun, and we got to do it again. And Joe, yeah, thank you so much for adjudicating that and being an incredible judge.
If you ever want to take part on a Sunday, just message in quiz during the show, and I will keep a record of your name, and I will phone you on a Sunday.
You say it in such a scary way. I'm not sure people want to do it.
It's fun.
It is super fun. It is super, super, super fun. And get involved and you could win a fantastic prize just like that. I'll tell you what's just happened right now. We've had the Sunday quiz, but coming up in just a moment, right after we go to a break, I'm going to bring you two in, actually. Did you know the answers to the quiz? Sanam and Patrick, hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Sally. I think I got about 6 correct there.
Did you? Well done, you could have won it. Mm. Patrick?
Sally, not quite so good. As a geography teacher, I think I should have done slightly better. No, I got 4.
Yes, you should have. They're just a big slap on the back of the hand there. We've got in studio with us Sanam Yaqub, Cultural Development Leader at Dubai English Speaking School, and Patrick McMurrin from Dubai English Speaking College. He is the Director of Global Citizenship there, and they're going to be talking about a fantastic initiative with Adopt a School and all of their great and fantastic philanthropic activities at these two schools right after this.
Kaleidoscope on Dubai Today with Suzanne Radford, exchanging ideas and mulling over life's little mysteries. Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, welcome back to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, in for Suzanne Radford, who is currently enjoying the Glastonbury Festival. We are very, very jealous, but you know, I'm sure we're going to hear all about it when she comes back. Adele was on. Did you see that, guys? Adele was she was headlining at the festival, which looks absolutely fantastic.
A little bit wet and a little bit muddy from the pictures I saw and long tailback, so I hope she got there.
Oh, yeah, very, very muddy indeed, as it always is. Everybody's got their wellies, I can see, as well, from the pictures. But this afternoon, this hour, we're being joined by Sanam Yaqub, Cultural Development Leader at Dubai English Speaking School. Hello and good afternoon.
Hi, Sally. Nice to meet you.
So lovely to have you in studio.
Thank you.
And Patrick McMurrin, who is the Director of Global Citizenship at Dubai English Speaking College. Great to have you as well.
Nice to meet you, Sally. Thanks very much for having us on.
It's a pleasure. Look, you know, you guys are here to talk about the philanthropic work that both your schools are involved in. And for those of us who don't really have a background as to where all of that started, give us a taste of where it all started. How did it happen?
Okay, so well, part of my role as cultural development leader is to ensure, we've got 46 nationalities at DES, believe it or not, and part of my role is to ensure that we promote common core values, including acceptance, integrity, and passion. And philanthropy really was a vehicle for us to do this and develop social consciousness. So over the past few years, we've been involved with a portfolio of different charities, both local, national, and international. And we saw it as a really important part of children's development, and as our role as teachers, to get our children involved in that.
Absolutely. I mean, take me back. You know, what was the kind of the first initiative or the first project that kind of came about, and where you said, this is really great, we're going to keep going from here? How did it all start?
Well, a few years back, some of my colleagues, this is going back now 6 or 7 years, got involved in a school in Africa, in Aksum. They went out there, they got involved with a charity there, and we were involved in building classrooms and washroom facilities for the children. The great thing about that was the children could see the impact of their work. They could see the impact of the fundraising that they were doing and the money. So it sort of led from there. We then got involved in local charities as well. So about 3 years ago, we got involved with a school through the Red Crescent called Bilal Bin Rabah. And this was a school based in Sharjah, believe it or not, only 25 minutes away. We went out to the school as teachers. We assessed what their needs were. And the school didn't have a playground at all. So the children were playing just sort of on a concrete area. So we started a project called the Let's Play Project. And through that, we raised money to build shading, to provide play equipment, and a soft play area for the children. Now, the best thing about the Bilal Bin Rabah project was that the children could go out themselves and see the impact of what they had done. But also the children from Bilal Bin Rabah came to DES as well. So there was a lot of collaboration going on there. So the philanthropy developed over the years. And back now, I think it's going back to September, we entered a competition with Dubai Cares called the Dubai Cares Schools Philanthropy Award. And this was great because it was the first time that certainly I had seen in Dubai where the ownership of the idea of fundraising was coming from the children themselves. They were being empowered to come up with an idea to raise money themselves. So we got all of our children involved, and I've got a group of charity ambassadors at school and charity club which I run after school. So we floated the idea, and they were coming up with brilliant ideas of how to raise money, and the ones at lemonade stand and bake sales, etc., which are great. But one of the groups had an idea to build a huge iron mesh in the shape of a heart, which they could then sell padlocks for, and the children could buy these padlocks and lock their wish on this padlock. So we submitted that idea together with an art competition idea. And we came second place overall in the UAE. So that really was our start of our relationship with Dubai Cares. Having sort of won that competition, the children were very excited about coming up with these ideas. So it was after that Adopt a School was born.
That's fantastic. I mean, because it all started with one project. You know, you were doing things in Africa. You were doing things locally as well, which I think is really important, that, you know, the kids see what's happening in their very own backyard, and to see, you know, that there are kids who don't have the same things that they do, and you know, how can they reach out and how can they help? I want to ask you about that, before we get into all the details of Adopt a School, but, you know, how does that shape the kids and their understanding of, you know, what they're doing, and how does it change their outlook on what's going on around them?
I think it certainly does shape their outlook. They become involved in selfless acts. If they're designing their own project, their philanthropy project, they're having to work with others, they're having to collaborate, they're having to organize their time. And really, they do see how they can help those less fortunate.
Yeah, Patrick.
You know, I think we all understand as parents that our children are incredibly privileged to have the standard of education they have and the wonderful opportunities that Dubai and the UAE provides for them. But I also do think that those opportunities allow us a vehicle to open the eyes of our sons and daughters to the world around them. You know, summer's about to arrive. There's going to be a mass exodus. Those of us that are staying behind look forward to that exodus because, of course, the roads get a little bit quieter. But the point is that people disappear off around the world and they have a really good opportunity to sort of look around them and get those experiences and help those shape their lives. You know, as Director of Global Citizenship, one of my roles is to do exactly that, to try and encourage students to take those blinkers off, to look around them, to be a little bit more empathetic and a little bit more compassionate and understanding of the world around them. And whether that can be done at a local level, like Des has already done, obviously, or whether it can be done at an international level, you know, that's where this Adopt a School Dubai Cares initiative is going to have a wonderful opportunity for our students to recognize those issues around the world, but then most importantly, do something about it and then be able to see the fruits of their efforts in terms of the end result.
It's a wonderful thing. But let me ask you about that before we go to break, about the Adopt a School. You know, where is this going on? The school, I think, is in Nepal. Is that right?
Yeah, the school is actually in the western area of Nepal, and it's quite an underprivileged area. It's actually the indigenous Tharo population who are still suffering from the effects of ethnic conflict and forced slavery. So this particular school will be built in that region. We're looking to raise, and this is with the support of Dubai Cares, we're looking to raise 151,000 dirhams. And we're on the way there. We've had quite a few initiatives, which we'll talk a little bit about later. But the idea is that we're going to build a purpose-built three-classroom building. It will support 150 children. But not only that, it will support the local women in the area. So adult literacy lessons as well are going to be a common feature of the school.
It sounds like an amazing project. It's a wonderful project. I believe Des started it off first, and then Desk came in on board. Tell me how that happened.
That's right. So obviously from Sanam and Des' efforts and the initial Dubai Cares initiatives, you know, we all register that we live in a village and the community needs to contribute and the wider community can contribute. So she approached Desk, obviously under the same umbrella, the two schools, and gave us the opportunity to do a little bit of fundraising as well. Well, that little bit of fundraising has very quickly snowballed, and the whole initiative, which was very daunting at the beginning, has really started to gain momentum now. And there's a huge amount of energy both by students, staff and the wider community going into this this whole idea, and we'll expand a little bit more on one or two of those initiatives in a moment. But yeah, Des came on board because Sanam approached us and said, would we like to help? And of course, that went without saying, we were delighted to help.
I can't wait to hear more about that process and how it all developed. We're going to do that right after we go to the half-past headlines. We are joined this morning by Sanam Yaqub, a cultural development leader at DES, and Patrick McMurrin from DESC as well, who is the Director of Global Citizenship.
Kaleidoscope on Dubai Today with Suzanne Radford, exchanging ideas and mulling over life's little mysteries. Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're talking about an amazing initiative called Adopt a School that is happening in conjunction with Dubai English Speaking School and Dubai English Speaking College in collaboration with Dubai Cares. In studio with me this morning, I've got Sanam Yaqub, Cultural Development Leader at DES, and Patrick McMurrin of DESC as well. Welcome back to the both of you. And we've just been going through how you arrived at Adopt a School as part of your philanthropic efforts at both schools. But take me through it. You know, you had your first event to raise money back in February, Sanam, I believe.
Yes. Yep. So back in February, we had our annual, we have this, it's become a sort of annual event for the past 3 years. Previously, we've been raising the money through this event for other projects. But it's been such a huge success. We had it again this year, and it's called Everybody Runs. And it's, the idea is it's a sponsored run. So what was great was that every single child in the school is involved. So right from FS right through to year six. and the children get sponsorship from their parents and their parents' companies, etc. It's an event that takes place during the school day and involves all the children. And I think the highlight of the day is when the children come out during their break time and they see their teachers running as well. So we had a couple of teams of teachers who were running against each other. But on this particular event, it was one of the most successful, and we raised 69,000 dirhams.
In one day?
In one day. It
That's
was unbelievable. It was. And we had a few children actually went above and beyond getting their sponsorship just from their parents. They went out to their communities. They went out to their parents' companies and spent time there explaining what the project was, explaining how they could benefit the children in Nepal, and they were building this school. So they're really taking pride in this project that they're involved in. They're really taking ownership. And it's that sort of seen through the fundraising that is being done. But you're right, Sally, it was amazing to go to accounts at the end of the day and then tell me that 69,000 was raised.
Out of 151,000, I think it is?
That's right,
that
yes.
You're trying to raise.
That's right.
You know, this is incredible stuff in one day from all of these kids coming together for this, you know, cause. It's just wonderful stuff. But, you know, taking it from there, I mean, that must have given huge momentum.
Yes.
To the kids,
yes.
To say, how can we do more? So what did you do after that?
So when Sanam approached us and came to Des and had a meeting about this initiative, my first thought was I was very daunted that you'd produce such a huge amount of money in one event and whether we'd be able to match that. But, you know, this, I think, in itself is a lovely lesson for the students, that collaboration between two schools and us working together for a common goal. So since that time, we've got one or two major events planned for the new academic year, so September through to November, when we will then, you know, the initiative will be finished. But in the meantime, we've had lots of small ones. For example, our wonderful art department, headed up by Claire Hall, approached the GCSE and A-level students to ask them if they would consider donating their GCSE and A-level art pieces to a silent auction. And that then allowed parents and one or two other wider community members to come in and make a bid on those pieces. And then in September, once the exam season is over, the highest bid will basically receive those pieces and have a memento. So that was the silent art auction was a wonderful opportunity. And we've had lots of individual contributions, whether it's a two year seven girls who decided to do a bake sale in their local compound and they went round at the swimming pool and sold their wares. And that raised 570 dirhams, through to my year 11 geography group, who, rather than buy me lots of little presents to say thank you very much for teaching them, instead they actually all clubbed together, then went out to their local communities and in one hit presented me with a check for 10,000 dirhams. So, you know, lots of individual opportunities for students to express their commitment and their pride in trying to contribute to other students' education and sort of get them to have that empathy for other people who are less fortunate themselves.
What's amazing and what's coming out of from your story, Sanam and Patrick, is that it seems that the students are realizing that each and every single individual act that they do, each and every single one of them can actually make a huge difference.
Yeah.
It is not just, you know, a little bit here or there. Actually, when you put that all together, it's an incredible amount that you come up with.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think the students are starting to see that when we revealed the amount we'd raised in just 3 weeks of fundraising. They were absolutely bowled over, and they hadn't actually understood that so many different people individually had contributed, some anonymously, some less so, but all absolutely valuable. And whether it's a single student deciding to give their pocket money into the initiative, or whether it's a larger whole school initiative, you know, that pulling together has been a real pleasure for us as teachers to watch.
Yeah, you're right. I do agree with Patrick. And there has been research, actually, that the children who engage in philanthropic activities, they do reap great benefits. For example, I've seen children whose self-esteem has boosted as a result of them being involved in this, you know, as a result of them being involved in these selfless acts. They're learning the value of money, which, again, is very important, you know, for all children, not just in the region.
Especially if you live in a place like Dubai, where
yes.
It's all about spending money and, you know, having money and spending money. It's, or anywhere really in the
yeah.
world, kids tend to think about only themselves and,
yes.
you know, what can I get for, you know, my whatever, $5 worth or whatever, or $10.
Yeah.
But actually, how can that amount of money make a difference to somebody else.
Absolutely. And then I've seen children engaging in teamwork and learning the experience and importance of working together with other children that they may not have. One of the clubs up at the college that Patrick works with, one of the teachers there runs an enterprise club, and the children at the enterprise club have designed their own bracelets. So the group of children from the college last week came to us at the primary school and taught our children how to make these bracelets. Now the next step for them is to go out and sell those within the school community and outside as well. Again, it's about them empowering them and taking ownership.
And it's not, you know, they're not just raising the money as well. They're learning the skills of presenting themselves and presenting the cause that they are, you know, putting out there to everybody to contribute to. And, you know, gaining so many skills of, you know, interacting with others and it's fantastic.
Well, I think it is. And of course, the wonderful thing about this initiative is there's going to be a very visible and possibly even touchable outcome. You know, these students may well be able to visit. And I think both Sam and I and our respective schools feel very strongly that the building of the school is the first part of this. But then the supporting of that school, whether it's with resources or, you know, we have got incredible teachers at our school that do on a daily basis an outstanding job that could go across and do some professional development with the teachers there. You know, our Duke of Edinburgh award scheme also is very interesting, going out there and helping support the school. And so I think, you know, one of the things we've got to get across to our students is that once the money's raised, that's all well and good and they're doing a fantastic job with that, but it's not then the job finished. We then have a responsibility to support that school beyond the initial build, and I'm really excited about the opportunities that will present for our students.
Because that, you know, that obviously goes back to personal responsibility, that, you know, you've contributed to this and that's great, but, you know, support, like you said, being part of that support network, the teachers and the students, it's really, really wonderful stuff, and it's something that is not just, you know, in this year or whatever. It's a long-term thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the project will last 3 years. The completion of the building will initially take 1 year, and the adult literacy lessons will commence within 18 months. So hopefully our teachers, our lead learners as well, our student body can then visit Nepal and take part in that. And I think this was the key when deciding on Adopt a School. We needed to choose an initiative that children could relate to, and building another school was exactly what they could relate to. And I think when we talk to them about the value of education, the value of them being able to come to school and have resources and have teachers, they really see how they can then support others.
Can I just say that both of you are getting some lovely messages coming through on the text lines. This one from Holly saying, as a deaf parent, I just want to congratulate Sanam on all her incredible work. The students, teachers and parents have really come together, and our charity raising efforts are something we are all very proud of. Another one says, this is from Colin saying, great to hear the wonderful work this school is doing. As a GIVE coordinator for InnoVentures Education, we've currently adopted our first school with Dubai Cares as well in Nepal, as well as going there with our first cohort in November to construct the school. Looking forward to working with all Dubai schools to make a difference. So, you know, it's a ripple effect. It is something that really, you know, goes out everywhere, and it's just wonderful to see. We're going to be talking more to Sanam and Patrick from Desk and Desk.
Kaleidoscope on Dubai Today with Suzanne Radford, exchanging ideas and mulling over life's little mysteries. Dubai Today, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It is the month of giving. It is Ramadan, and we in studio have with us Sanam Yaqub, Cultural Development Leader at Dubai English Speaking School, and Patrick McMurrin, Director of Global Citizenship at Dubai English Speaking College. They're talking about their philanthropic activities, and, you know, Sanam, it is Ramadan. You are fasting. We're fasting this month, and it's a special month because it gets people to reflect on what they have, what others do not have, and the different ways that we can give, that we can contribute to the world and to something much bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely, I agree, Sally. And one of my mantras with the children is that, you know, the simplest form of charity, as you know, is a smile. So again, going around, you know, there's lots of this going on. But one of the traditions, and you were talking about cultural traditions in your program, one of the traditions that I really wanted to ignite in our school this Ramadan was, when I was younger, mother always used to, on the first day of Ramadan, share food or iftar with the neighbours. So on the first day of Ramadan, I spoke to our head teacher, Mrs. Dando, and I said, I'd really like to take the charity ambassadors to our neighbours, to our neighbouring schools. We're based in Oud Meta. So on either side, we've got a church, we've got other schools opposite, we've got an Iranian school, etc. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to go and share this, share something with the schools? So along with five children, we went and we took over some sweet biscuits. And we'd never been to these schools before. They've been our neighbours for 50-odd years in Oud Meta. So they were just absolutely overwhelmed that we'd brought our children, we were sharing this.
This year was the first time that you did this?
Yes, we've been to the school and worked on various projects, but actually done that. And building those community links was just great.
It really is a beautiful thing. I mean, you know, Ramadan, sharing food, it's one of the best things that you can do, really. And like you say, you know, this is with people who are from different cultures, possibly different faiths to you as well. And, you know, sharing that is just the perfect icebreaker and the perfect way to bring people together.
Absolutely. So going into the church was a great experience for the children, and sharing with that, so breaking down those barriers as well. But there are various other projects that we've taken part in as part of Ramadan. So just only last week, working in collaboration with the Royati Society, parents of the school community, and this went across to desk as well, we contributed non-perishable food items, rice, pasta, etc. And just on Thursday, the children packed those boxes, and then we delivered them to the communities of Dubai, to those families that needed it as well. So again, that was another project that we took part in.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are doing so much. Patrick, I mean, you know, it's easy, Sanam, to get younger kids excited and involved about this. Mm. But Patrick, you know, when you've got teenagers, 14, 15, whatever, who are, you know, they are the centre of the universe. Is it that easy to get them involved and to, you know, because it's hard work, fundraising. It is not, you know, a simple activity that will last, you know, a day or whatever. It's something that can take a lot of work and commitment.
Well, absolutely. And we're slightly disadvantaged because, of course, a third of our school is not currently at desk. They're all on exam leave preparing for their, or actually completing now their GCSEs and their A-levels. So, of course, we're slightly disadvantaged by that, which is why, you know, I feel quite confident that come the new academic year and come re-energized teachers and re-energized students, having had a summer break wherever they've gone, we'll come back and really attack this with a vengeance to make sure we're able to get the most out of it. In terms of the teenager point, yeah, you're absolutely right. Back to my first point, when Sanam first arrived and said she had raised 69,000 dirhams, I was thinking there's no way that we're going to be able to match that. But slowly but surely, on individual points, as I mentioned earlier, and on a whole school events, we're slowly getting there. And I think ultimately, you know, we've had assemblies about it. Tutors are doing a good job ensuring the message gets across as well. And I don't care who you are, whether you're self-centered, blinkered teenager, at some point you do stop and look around and just have that moment of empathy. And I think that's the moments that we've got to grasp, and we're slowly doing that.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the events that you've got coming up in the new school year. This is something that you don't just focus on in Ramadan or in a particular time. It's something that's ongoing.
No, I mentioned earlier on Walk for Education, but yeah, Before that we've actually got a couple of dress down days. It's a big favourite with our students, and of course with the staff as well, and probably the parents as well. Our students will come in and make a voluntary contribution to the course. For the Walk for Education will happen in early November. Fingers crossed, the weather is slightly cooler. And our plan is, we're very lucky to be located in Academic City with some open space around us. So I'm very keen as a desert lover to get our students out into the desert and quite literally get their feet dirty. And so we're going to do a Walk for Education where the students will walk a couple of kilometres. And on the way round, I'm going to have placards with bits of information they can pick up and little quizzes that they can take part in. We're going to encourage parents to get involved with this as well. It'll be advertised strongly from September onwards. And the idea is that the students will come in and make a contribution for their dress down day, but also make a contribution for the right to walk for education. And we're confident that will be a nice whole school event that'll be something slightly different and allow every student in the school to make a valuable contribution.
Of course, you know, there's nothing better than getting the kids into their natural environment. I mean, how many of us live in Dubai and have actually been to the desert and have walked through the desert? So I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think we all agree as parents that our children live in bubbles. You know, we've just had that conversation off air of what our children are like, and I think if we can expose them to alien environments, although really it's not an alien environment living in the country, but it is because they never go there, then you know, and one or two of them then pick up the bug for an outdoor life, then again there's another aspect, another facet of education that, you know, we as parents don't pay for, but you know, ultimately schools are adding to that more rounded student. So a wonderful opportunity, and I'm sure there'll be a few people that will enjoy getting out there and getting a bit of fresh air.
Because it is easy to talk about the dollars raised, or sorry, the dirhams raised rather, but you know, there, like you said, there are just so many other benefits that are you can't even measure them, you know, and they will have ripple effects not just right now but for years, many, many years to come. So it's just brilliant work. We love it. But tell us, how can people kind of get involved and get in touch and be part of this if they want to contribute as well?
There's information on our school website about how people can get involved, and the school community really has got involved. The student bodies, the teachers as well, but really also the parents. Really, the parents are really supportive of all of our charity initiatives because they lead by example. The children often do what the adults around them are doing. So being good role models, getting involved in charity projects, we've seen that really work a lot. I think encouraging teenagers through recognizing their passion is a way that you can get them involved. If they are really enjoy sports, get them to do something around that and raise money around that. If they're great artists, get them again to paint canvases and maybe have a silent auction as they are. And really having discussions, and certainly something that works for me is getting the whole of my family involved. When we're all involved doing something together, then that's really a good way to ignite that interest in supporting and helping others.
Absolutely fantastic. And on our blog as well, on the Dubai Today blog, you can go to our website at dubaii1038.com, and you can see all of the wonderful things that Des and Desk have been doing in terms of Adopt a School and all of the other programs that you guys are involved in. It's just it's really, really brilliant. I mean, you've got other things going on, the Got Food program as well.
Yep.
So much.
yeah, that was the packing that took place only last week. And the initiative that you mentioned there, the Reading Nation. So some of our teachers went on Saturday to Dubai Cares to pack the books as well. I had feedback from one of our librarians this morning who'd gone out and said it was amazing. There were hundreds of people there packing these books.
Many, many ways that you can get involved as well. And this is the thing. It's a whole community initiative. It's not just something that is for the students or, you know, the teachers or even the parents. It's everybody coming together in so many different ways. And I think that's a really important point, Sunam, to say, you know, do it through whatever it is that you love. You know, use that as a vehicle to raise money and to do good all over your community and even all over the world, as we can see with the Nepal school that you guys are setting up. It's fantastic. And so when did you say you hope that the students will be going out to see the school after it's finished?
Well, we're looking forward to handing that check over to Dubai Cares on the 31st of November. And then it'll take more or less a year for the school to be built. Now, of course, we have opportunities, arguably, to go out there and allow the students to quite literally get their hands dirty in the build itself, or just go out and support the students in their learning. We're looking forward to getting this up and running for this time next year, and from there we'll just try and facilitate opportunities for students to get out there and understand what life is like beyond Dubai and beyond, you know, the outstanding learning and that goes on within our two schools.
Amazing work. Fantastic. Thank you both so much. And do keep us in the loop and let us know how it's all going. Give us updates on what's going on with the school and with the students, because these are the kind of stories that we love to hear about here on Dubai Today. Thank you so much. A final thank you to Sanam Yaqub, Cultural Development Leader at Dubai English Speaking School. Thank you so much, Sanam.
Thank you so much, Sally.
And Patrick McMurrin, who is the Director of Global Citizenship at Dubai English Speaking College. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was really good. Thank you very much, Sally.